Chav Dalet Amid Aleph, we are 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 16 lines from the top.
23A1, right,
Rabbi? 24A1.
Sure. Are you
sure? Yeah, remember the guy had marital relations during the time of Zavelis and the pigs ate him up? Yeah, okay, that's the last thing we learned. Chav Dalet Amid Aleph. 16. Why? We're looking at.
I'm just looking how much I missed.
16 lines?
16 lines on the top. Amir Shmuel. Okay, the Gemara is in the middle of discussing what you're allowed to do on Shabbos during Avelis, right?
I don't think that's right.
Is that what you have?
I think we're on 23.
No, sir, we're not. I'm telling you. We're not, no. Amr Shmuel said, Pachaz, this is an acronym. Peches Zayin is Chayva, an obligation to do Shabbos during Avelis. And Nun Tav Resh is Rishus. So Gemara says, what does it mean? What are the acronyms? Now, we learned before in the Gemara, on Shabbos you're not allowed to show any public sign of mourning. It's forbidden on Shabbos, because Shabbos you're not allowed to have public mourning. So the Gemara says like this, Prius Reish, uncovering the head, is an obligation. Because in the time of the Avelim, during the week, they don't do it today, but in the time of Avelim, they used to cover their head during the week of Shivat to show a sign of mourning. Right? So Shabbos, they were obligated to uncover the hair, because that's a public sign of Avelis. The second thing is, they were obligated to do Chazaras Krala Achurev. They had to turn the garment around that they tore. They used to tear the garment, right? So we learned before, during the week, you had to keep it open. What did they do on Shabbos? They turned it out backwards, that it shouldn't be noticeable in the front, because then it's not covered. Why? Because again, wearing torn garments on Shabbos is forbidden, because it's a sign of mourning. And the third thing is, Sekifas Hamita. Before we learned in the Gemara, used to turn over the beds, which we learned before, that's not done today. So anyway, during the week, the beds were turned over. So on Shabbos, they have to turn the beds back, straighten out the beds. So these are three things that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, in a way that you must uncover the hair that you covered during the week for Avelis, turn the thing backwards, that you don't see it on Shabbos, and the third thing is straightening out the bed.
What is Pachaz and Natar or whatever?
No, that's just the Rosh Tevis for Prius Reish, Chazaras, and Zekifa Samita. This is the way you used to remember things in the olden times. Now, the second acronym was Natar. What is Natar? Ne'ilasa sandal, wearing leather shoes, Tashmish Amita, marital relations. Or the Chit, it's Yadayim V'raglayim B'cham in Aves. Washing hands and feet in the evening, those are the shoes. What does it mean, Rishus, the way the Gemara is learning now? You could do them, you could not do them. That means, if you want to wear sneakers on Shabbos, you could. You don't want to wear, you don't have to. You want to have marital relations, this is during the week of Shiva. On Friday night, you could. You don't want, you don't have to. The same thing, washing your hands and feet. Now, this is not Allah, by the way, just for the record. Rav Amar, Rav says not only that, even uncovering the head is optional. The first opinion, Shmuel said, you must uncover your head, because covering your head was a public sign of Avelos. Shmuel, Rav said, you don't have to. If you want to uncover it, you could. You don't want to, you don't have to. It's totally optional. So the Gemara asks the question, Shmuel, why does Shmuel hold that wearing shoes are optional? Why? The lav kula mavi the disaimer misa anayo, because not everybody wears shoes on Shabbos. In other words, the Gemara is learning like this. Why does Shmuel say these things are optional? Because listen, some people wear shoes on Shabbos, some people don't wear shoes on Shabbos. So the fact that you're not wearing shoes because of Avelus is not a public sign of Avelus. Because a lot of people that are not Avelim also don't wear shoes. Right? So if that's the case, Priyas Haroshnami, then uncovering the hair should also be optional. Why? Because lav kula alma vidim megala reshe, not everybody uncovers their hair on Shabbos. Some do, some don't. They're not available, just people, right? Some people cover their hair on Shabbos, some people don't cover their hair on Shabbos. So why is this different than shoes? Shmuel says you must uncover your hair on Shabbos. But shoes, no. Why? Because a lot of people wear shoes. A lot of people don't wear shoes. So by wearing or not wearing shoes, you're not showing avelus. So if that's the case, why is hair covering different? Some do, some don't. So let him do whatever he wants. No, they used to actually wear a turban around the head. So the Gemara says, Shmuel the time. Huh? No. This is what he used to wear. So the Gemara answers, Shmuel the time. Shmuel goes according to his own reasoning. Why? Damash Shmuel says in a different place like this. The first part is not relevant, but this is what he says. Kol kirasha'ene b'shas chimum, any tearing of a garment, which is not at the time of grief, is not considered tearing. Meaning, Shmuel holds that the only time you can tear a garment is right away. Otherwise, Shmuel says, you're not allowed to tear garments. It's interesting. Because there's a thing called baltashchis. You can't whenever you want just rip a garment. So Shmuel holds, you're only allowed to rip a garment at the time of grief. But if you're doing it later, then you're mamash destroying a garment for no reason at all. Okay? That's one. But now Shmuel says another din, v'chol latif, for any wrapping of the head. She'ein katif es Yishma'elim. It's not like the wrapping of the Arabs. A natifa is not considered proper wrapping of the head. Meaning, there's an obligation for a mourner to wrap his head. So Shmuel holds, what type of wrapping? A complete wrapping. Because, in fact, when we put on a talis, Chabad custom, when you put on a talis, a lot of people have different customs, you know, how to wrap the talis? Because the mitzvah is lisatef batzitzis. Wrapping, actually, atifa, you have to wrap. So our custom is what's called to do atifas yishmeilim. The imamish wrap it in such a way that we even cover the eyes. In other words, it was like a complete covering. So of course, how do the Arabs, how do they walk? So the answer is, there was open at the bottom. You don't block it completely. You block it with the eyes, but you can see underneath the talus, so you're able to walk. So Shmuel holds that the mourning Atifa, not mourning, Avelus mourning. Atifa was an Atifa that if you weren't the mourner, you didn't do it. The Gemara's question was, some people cover their hair, some people don't cover their hair. Shmuel says, such a covering nobody does. Only an Avel. So if he's going to wear a covering like that, that's open Avelus. So that's why Shmuel holds that you have to uncover the hair. Rav, on the other hand, because Rav said before, even uncovering the hair is optional, because Rav holds to cover the head for the mourner, any covering was good. So any covering, some people did it, some people didn't do it, whether they're Avelim or not. So this is the bottom line of the Gemara. But the Gemara says, Machve Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman demonstrated what is Atifis Yishma'elim, Ad guvi de dikna, until the hollows of his cheeks. That's the simple, literally depressions of the beard, meaning it's below the mouth. Rashi explains it means he covered actually to below the mouth, but you were still able to see because you didn't force it against your head. It was loose, so you're able to see out underneath it. So therefore, the Gemara answers like this: Shmuel holds you must uncover the hair on Shabbos. Why? Because Shmuel's covering of the hair was unique for Avelus. And therefore, if you kept it on Shabbos, it was an open public sign of mourning, which halachically is forbidden on Shabbos. Rav, on the other hand, says, no, a mourner could cover his hair anyway, his head anyway, like just a turban. And therefore, people do it on Shabbos. People don't do it on Shabbos, so therefore it's optional.
Is a mourner covering the head and going to Beis Hamikdash connected? Somebody who's coming with a dead body had to show a sign?
No, Hashem told Aaron not to do it. Which means everybody else did have to do it. The contrary, from Aaron, said, "Begad, b'raisha lo yifra," means you shouldn't cover your head. Which means, but it wasn't to go into the Beis Hamikdash. It was just in the laws of mourning.
Didn't you learn that Aaron is not supposed to come out from the house?
On Shabbos they could, we learned.
No, during the week.
We're not talking about during the week. We're talking about on Shabbos now. No, this is all on Shabbos.
Oh, it's only on Shabbos.
Yeah. No, during the week you have to cover the head because you have to show sign of avelus. Here the Gemara is talking, all these things are on Shabbos. So Shmuel said, you have to uncover the hair, because otherwise it's public. You have to tear your garments, put it in the back that it shouldn't be seen, and it's straightening up the bed. But the Gemara says, interesting din. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, the Gemara explains Shmuel's din. Shmuel's din said, you must uncover the hair on Shabbos. He said, that's only if he's not wearing shoes. But but if a person's wearing shoes, then the shoes show that he's not keeping avelus on Shabbos. What is this whole thing? You're not allowed to show open avelus on Shabbos. So Rabbi Yaakov Amir Rabbi Yechanan says that if the guy is wearing shoes, leather shoes, so he's already showing he's not doing avelus. So therefore, it doesn't matter if he uncovers the hair or not, because he's already showing just by the shoes that there's no din of avelus, that he's not keeping avelus on Shabbos. Okay, then the Gemara says, the Gemara discussed before, Kol Krasheinu B'Shas Chimim Eina Kra. You know, it's a very interesting question, Alocha, by the way. It's a practical thing. This is what the Gemara is discussing now, not this aspect of it, but we learned that Shmuel says if it's not at the time of grief, you're not allowed to tear it. We explain why, because it's Baltashchis. You're partially destroying a garment. So the question is, the Moshul, if somebody has an adopted parent or a step-parent raised them from the time they're young and they pass away, so Apidin, there's no Avelus because it's not a biological father. Right? The question is, are they allowed to sit Shiva? Can they sit Shiva or not? They want to, you know, they consider this their father. So there's no Chiyuv. But if they want to, they're allowed to. But there is a shalom halacha, can they tear their clothing? Because that already, now you're even baltashchis. Sitting on a low place, you know, not washing, wearing non-leather shoes. God, it's not a sin. You want to do it, you could do it. But now the shalom is, can you even rip the clothing? Because that already goes into a sin of baltashchis.
Making chadish, they're allowed to?
Yeah. But I mean, But that's not an Aveda. The question is, can they do something in Aveda? But the Gemara is going to ask a question about this.
You're saying that the biological parent, even if he had no connection to the child, is the person from one with Sitshuva and the
100%. Person
actually cared for the child from he
doesn't care. That's the halacha. What can I tell you?
Is it Baltashchis?
This is not like the Dr. Laura people hold the like. Dr. Laura says only the one that raised you is your parent, not the one that's a sperm donor, as she calls it.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
It makes a lot of sense, but not in Torah. In other words, when the Torah says Kabbalah Savicha Vesimecha, it doesn't say honor your father and mother. It doesn't say because they raised you.
No, but you owe the obligation. That obligation, that mitzvah applies to your biological parents who never took care of you.
Yes. That's why it's not the logical. Even the logical mitzvahs are not logical. Hashem said, "This person brought you into the world. That's what you have to do."
And what about clinics?
The what?
Infidelity
things.
No, not
fertility clinics. That's a separate issue. That's all. That's another shayla by itself.
So,
what? Yeah, it's a lav in the Torah. Leis Hashchis about the wood, the trees. Kimenel Seicha Vayisin Leis Hashchis, but it refers to anything good you're not allowed to destroy.
You do that every day.
What? What do you destroy?
A lot of food,
and you can't. You're not allowed to throw out food. Talk about Hashchis. Yeah, you're right. Enochanami, you're not allowed to. We're not talking about crumbs. We're talking about, He didn't. He mourned that night, it says. Didn't sit shiva. Then the Gemara says, Kol Krash, Shmuel said before, Kol Krash she'ena b'shas chimum. Chimum is here is grief, not anger. But he said any tearing which is not at the time of the grief, ena kareya, it's not.
What's the time of the grief? The time of the knowledge?
Well, today is at the funeral. So the Gemara says, va'am rolei Shmuel, but the Gemara asks a question. The Shmuel that said this din, it says when Shmuel heard that Rav passed away, kara alei treise mane, he teared 12 garments over him. And the Gemara explains that logically it doesn't mean that he was wearing them at the same time. If he wore a garment, tore it, changed it later, tore it again. And he said, why did he tear? Omar, he said, also Gavra, this man passed away, Dava Mustafina, I was afraid of him. In other words, as Rashi explains, Rav and Shmuel were very, very close. They're very good friends. And Shmuel knew that Rav would ask very good questions on his dinim. So anytime Shmuel would say halacha, he was afraid of making a mistake because Rav would rip him apart. As a good friend, but he would ask him very strong questions. So Shmuel said, until now my learning, I had to be very careful. So not to do, in other words, he said, I had to be very careful every time I said something that Rav shouldn't disagree with me. Right? But now I'm not afraid of anybody. So he took it so bad that he ripped 12 garments. And then the Gemara says also, when they told Rabbi Yochanan, Noch nafshi Rav Chanina, that they told Rabbi Yochanan that Rav Chanina passed away, he tore 13 robes of silk. So the question is, again, he said the same thing. Also, Rabbi Yochanan said, this person passed away, that I would be afraid of. So what do you see from here? That Shmuel tore garments not at the time of grief. Because worse, it's not logical to say that he ripped 12 at one time. I mean, it's ridiculous. So obviously he kept ripping garments. So the question is, Shmuel got to be saying you're not allowed to do that. So Lucher is Baltashchis. How did Shmuel do it? So my answer is like this. By Yatamid Chochem, it's different. Why? Shani Rabbanu Rabbanu Pav was the way of difference. Tkiv and the Choshaita Medachra Shmaitze. Every time they mention a din, they're like reliving the death of this person. In other words, not a one time that somebody passes away, it finished. Every time Shmuel mentioned a halacha, he felt Rav's passing. So according to Shmuel, that's called the time of grief. And Mameli, he ripped a garment, and therefore he wasn't David Baltashchis. So Rabban Bar Ado said to Rav, he says, Amar Talmidach Rav Amram, Rav Amram, who's a student of Rav, so Rabban said to Rav, your student, Rav Amram, said the following. Tanya, we learned in Ebraisim, Oval Kol Shiva, and Oval all 7 days, Kero Lefanev. Tears, he has to wear the tear in front. Meaning it has to be noticeable for people to see. And if you want to change your garment, machlif, you could change it, but v'kerei, you have to tear it. That means what Rav Amram is quoting from the Braisa, that if in the middle of Shiva you want to change your garment, you could, but you have to tear that one. Which is obviously going to be a question on Shmuel, because Shmuel said you can only tear at the time of death or the funeral, and here he's telling in the middle of Shiva. B'Shabbos kerei l'achur. Shabbos, you have to wear the tear on the back. And in Bala Hachlif, if on Shabbos you want to put on like Shabbos clothing, you know, during Avelus, Machlif you're allowed to. Ve'ena kere, and you don't have to tear the garment. So the Gemara's question is, Shmuel just got to be saying you can only tear kriya at the time of grief. And yet this Braisa says clearly that if you're changing your garment during Shiva, you have to tear it again. So how can you tear it again according to Shmuel? So the Gemara answers, you're right. Kitanya hi bechved aviv v'imei. That is by parents. And this, by the way, the halacha in Shul Noruch. If somebody in the middle of Shiva changes his garment, like you change your shirt in the middle of Shiva, you'd have to tear that garment too.
For parents.
Only for parents. So the Gemara says, Shmuel is not talking about parents. Shmuel is talking about any tear that you tear for another relative could only be at the time of tearing. At the time of the grief. Therefore, the Moshe Da'alocha is, for other relatives, if you change your shirt during Shiva, you taka don't have to tear it. Because Shmuel says it's only b'shas chimum, only at the time of grief. But by parents, the Gemara says, then you would have to. Okay, then the Gemara says, Eis and Karin, those tearing that you do, okay? Now, the Gemara says like this. If for a parent, you tore at the funeral, let's say, and that we learned before in the Gemara, you can't sew those up. For other relatives, you can sew them up. For parents, you can't sew them up. But the Gemara says, what happens if for a parent, you ripped a second time? During Shiva, let's say you change your garment, like it says, you have to tear it. Those garments, can you sew up or not? Because it's not the original grief garment that you tore. This is a change. So the question is, ma'achin or yeh ma'achin? Are you allowed to sew it up, or are you not allowed to sew it up? So the Gemara says, pliga ba'avod Raveshia, the father of Raveshia and Bar Kapara argue. What's the argument? Chad amar ein misachin. One opinion says you cannot sew it up. The Chadam and Misachin, the other opinion, says you could sew it up. But everybody agrees that the first garment, the first time you tore, for parents you cannot sew it up. So the Gemara wanted to know which one is which. The father of Aveshia and Bar Kapara. One said yes, one said no. So the Gemara says, this time I'll prove to you, the Avua, the Aveshia, Amar E Misachin, that the father of Rabeshi is the one that said no. That means Bar Kapara said yes, that you can sew it up. Why? Because we know in a different place, Rav Eishia said, Ein Misachin, that you're not allowed to sew it up. And Miman Shmilei, who did he hear it from? Mistam Miavua. Maybe he probably heard it from his father. If Rabeshi's son, Rav Eishi himself said no, that means where did he hear it from? From his father who said no. So therefore, it's a proof, l'cha'era, that the father said no, and Bar Kapara said yes. Tumar said no. Lai, mi Bar Kapara Rabbi Shmili. Maybe you heard it from Bar Kapara's Rebbe. And that's Ravashia's Rebbe was Bar Kapara. So when Ravashia says, you can't sew it up, maybe you heard it from his Rebbe. How do you know he heard it from his father? So there's no proof either way. But the bottom line of it is there's an argument, if you change that garment, if you're allowed to sew it up or not. Okay, now the Gemara is going to continue about Avelis and Shabbos. Okay, now again, public Avelis is forbidden on Shabbos. Private Avelis is, we don't know. Before in the Gemara said Rishus. Yeah, no, whatever. Okay. Amid Avelis said, Avel mitayel bu'unkali b'teich besi. An Avel is allowed to walk around his house with his torn garment on Shabbos. This is again during the week of Shiva. So Rava said, an Ovel can walk around the house with a torn garment on Shabbos. So the Gemara tells a story. Abaya Ashkech Elei Rav Yosef. Abaya found Rav Yosef when Rav Yosef was in the middle of Shiva. He found him on Shabbos, the Parasle Sudra Reisha, that he had a kerchief over his head. That means he was, we just thought you have to uncover your head. But he held the Rav that said it's optional. You want, whatever. And he's walking around the house. Not in the street, but he's walking around the house. Amalei Sabai said to him, Lafsavar Lamad Ein Avelis B'Shabbos. Don't you hold that there's no Avelis in Shabbos? How could you walk around with this turban around your head? That means it's a sign of Avelis. Don't you hold that there's no Avelis in Shabbos? Amalei. So he said to him like this, Hachi Amar Rabbi Yechanan, and this is what Rabbi Yechanan said. Dvarim Shebitzina Noyig. Private things in the house, you have to keep Avelis and Shabbos. In other words, according to this, what Rabbi Yosef is saying, that you must do private Avelis and Shabbos. Not like Rav and Shmuel said before the Shus, but Rabbi Yechanan holds, It's and if you see the Tesis that says Hachi Amar closer to the bottom of the page Hachi Amar Rabbi Yechanan Vanshe B'tzinen Neig Tesis says Pasik Balochas Gedelis K'Rab Yechanan Lafuki Mirav Shmuel Damir Liotash Mishamit Rishus. In other words, Rav and Shmuel said marital relations are yeah, yeah, no, no. And the Rabbi Yechon Paskins, no. Dvarim Shebetzin is no. But what's interesting, Tosfos says, I halacha k'divrei ha-meikel. The halacha is like the meikel, so why do we paskin? So this we learned before, we discussed it from this Tosfos, that Tosfos says that only when there's a machlekes tanoim. Then you go halacha k'divrei ha-meikel. But in Achreinim itself, I mean in the Gemara and Amiroim, you don't say halacha k'divrei ha-meikel. You don't go by the lenient opinion only when the Mishnah argues, not in the Gemara. But what's interesting is, today, you're not allowed to walk around the house with a torn garment on Shabbos of Avelis, because it's considered today also public, even in the house. But like washing, marital relation, that nobody sees, basically. So that, the halach is like Rabbi Yechon, that you must keep it. It's not optional. Okay. Then the Gemara continues. This is going back to the Mishnah.
So this says that you cannot wash your hands and feet on Shabbos.
During Shiva. Just your hands, but right. Not...
Your hands, you cold your hands. So.
Yeah. But not washing your feet and,
Not bathing.
But bathing for sure Shabbos you can do. I'm saying even.
I mean, before Shabbos, you have to prepare for Shabbos.
Also, halachically not.
Yeah, that
you do during the week too. So, about rechitz of tainug, an enjoyable type of washing. No. Halachically not. Then, it's really questionable because it's Dvarim Shebetzinah.
No.
What do you mean, no?
But you're going to the mikveh.
That's Dvarim Shebetzinah. How will somebody know if you went to the mikveh or not? They stand on mikveh all day to watch if you're there or not. So what's the difference? Huh? Okay, now the Gemara is going back to the Mishnah. In the Mishnah was a discussion that Shabbos is counted as one of the 7 days, but Shabbos doesn't take away Shiva. Yom Tov takes away Shiva. That's what we learned before in the Gemara.
If it's within 3 days.
Well, according to the Mishnah, you're correct. Yeah, but that's not what the Gemara is discussing now. You're right, but Allah has discussed, the Gemara is going to say that even 1 hour before it takes it off. But the Gemara was discussing in the Mishnah before, Shabbos counts as one of the 7 days, but it doesn't stop Shiva. Yom Tov cuts, but it's not included in the 7 days. Okay? Meaning, if the burial took place less than 3 days, this is according to the Mishnah, which is not Allah anyway. Then it says like this. Rabbi Lazar says, and this is what's important for the Gemara here. When the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Shavuos is like Shabbos. Because there's no Korbanos, and Shavuos is 1 day. It's not any different than Shabbos. In other words, what did Rabbi Eliezer hold? Pesach and Sukkot is 7 days. Right? Now, if you're going to continue Shiva, there's like no Shiva then. Because you can't have, so therefore it can't be like Shabbos, that 1 day, okay, after Shabbos you continue. It Pesach is 7 days. If you're stopping, then it stops it. So therefore the Gemara said, Pesach and Sukkot take away Shiva. But Shavuos is only 1 day. So Mela, during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they had 7 days to bring the Korbanos, even on Shavuos. So therefore it was like a Yom Tov. But now that there's no Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi Lazar says, Shavuos, it's like Shabbos. Because right after Shavuos, you can continue Shiva. So what's the big deal? Then Ram Gamliel said, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim are like Yom Tov. That means Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, take away Shiva. The Chachamim said, it doesn't take away Shiva. Only Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos. But not Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Okay, that's what the Gemara is discussing now. The Gemara just starts with Rabbi Elias, but really the Gemara means Rabbi Gamliel's opinion. Rabbi Elias said, once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, then Shavuos is like Shabbos. What did Gamliel say? Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur also take away Shiva. The Chacham disagreed, but Rabbi Gamliel said, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur take away Shiva. The Gemara says, Amav Gidl Ba Menashe Amav Shmuel, Halacha Kram Gamliel. The Halacha is like Gamliel, that's the Halacha today, that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur also take away Shiva. That means if somebody, the way we hold today, if somebody started sitting Shiva out of Rosh Hashanah, comes the Yom Tov night, Shiva is over. Yom Kippur, Shiva is over. Okay? So Gemara says, some people say that's not where Rav Gidl Bar Menashe said Halacha Kram Gamliel. It was in a different case. A different din. It says, Kol Shlei Shemyeim Tinik Yeitze Bechek. Now the Gemara is going to discuss what happens if a kid under 30 days, God forbid, passes away. Now, according to Halacha, a person does not have a chazaka of being alive until 30 days pass. Okay? Shleishim Yeim gives you a chazaka of being alive. That explains the din of why Pidyon HaBen is on the 31st day. Why do you wait 30? Why is it on the 31st day, meaning you wait 30 days? Why? Because you have to know the kid's alive. The Kohen can't demand from you money. You could say to the Kohen, maybe the kid's going to die. Why should I pay you money? Then the kid's going to die, right? Once he's 30 days old, then he has a chazaka of being alive. So the Gemara is going to discuss what's the din if you bury a kid less than 30 days, or you bury a kid after 30 days, a year, 2 years. The Gemara is going to discuss this now. It says, Kol Shlei Shemyeim, for the first 30 days, if your baby dies within the first 30 days, Yeitze Bechek, you carry him in your chest, meaning you don't bury him in a bed. They used to take him out in beds, like stretchers, what we call stretchers today. V'nikva, and he's buried, be'isha achas u'shnei anashim. He's buried by one woman and two men. But, lo be'isha achad u'shtei anashim. But not with one man and two women. This is the din of Yichud. The cemeteries were outside the city, right? Now, a normal funeral, you have a minyan, you have a lot of people. Under 30 days, it's a quiet burial. Just because of tumor things, you know. But you just do it quietly. So the Gemara says, you can have one woman with two men burying, because then there's no din of Yichud. But you can't have one man with two women, because one man with two women is a din of Yichud. Okay? Is what?
Is it tumas mes with somebody who dies within 30 days?
It's not tumas mes. The Gemara says there is a tumas. Well, it is tumas mes. That's why you have to bury it. But there's no chiyuv kvura on a nafel. A nafel is either before he's born or whatever. Within 30 days, there's no. In Torah, there's a law ki cover tigvereno bayemahu. Lately, Solon nevlasi aloeitz, whatever. You have to bury it that day. So by a person over 30 days, there's a chiyuv kvura. Less than 30 days, he's not an ish. He's not a person yet. He doesn't have a chazak of a person. So there's questions. Why do you have to bury it? You know, but the bottom line is you have to bury it. So then it says, okay, so you can't have, though, you can have one woman, two men, but then there's no yichud, but one man with two women is no good.
Even if the husband.
No, he's speaking if there's nobody else there. In other words, there's a din that a man can't have yichud with two women. You need three. Okay? So, Abashol Eimer, Abashol. Yeah. Abashol Eimer, Abashol says, Av be'ish echod u'shtei noshim. You could have one man with two women. Aye, there's a problem with yichud. So one man and two women is Yichud. So Tesis explains that in the time of Avelis, we're not afraid they're going to do anything wrong. The whole reason, Yichud, you might come to do something wrong with them, but the time of Avelis, people are taught they're occupied with the mourning, they're not going to come and do anything wrong. Therefore, Abba Shaul says you can have one man and two women. But, in aim the model of Vishnu. Now the Gemara continues about a Nefel, less than 30 days. First thing is, you don't take him out in a mita, you just hold the kid in your hands. Secondly, he says, in aim the model of Vishnu. You don't make a row to console the mourners. Like, you know, after Levaya, you make what's called the shura, the two rows, and the mourners walk through, and everybody says, Amokim Minachim. You don't do that by a kid. Vein Eimer Amal of Birchus Havelin, you don't say the mourner's blessing, okay? This, today we don't do this, but they used to eat in the street, they used to make these brachas. V'tanchumi Havelin, there's no comforting the mess, because there's no shiva. There's no shiva for a kid under 30 days old. Okay, now that's up to 30 days old. Then Shleishim Yaim, when he's 30 days, Yetzer Bedoluska, he goes out in a box, not in a bed, but in a box. Rabbi Yehuda says, Lei Deluska Manitalis Bekosif, not one that's carried on a shoulder by one person, but Elanitolas Bagpayim, that is carried in the arms, meaning two people take it. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda holds, you don't take a kid out in a box that one person can just go like this, you know, hold it. It's not nice. It's not respectful. So Rabbi Yehuda holds, you need to have a box, but it's a box that two people have to carry out of respect. V'ein the malav b'shura, and you do have, you know, the lines for comforting. V'ein the malav birchas aveilim, tanchumi aveilim, you do more, you know, comforting and the mourners, condolences, and so on. That's after 30 days. Ben Shnei Maser Chedesh, if he's 12 months old, Yeitze B'mita, he goes out in the bier, meaning, and a bed, which was the ultimate way of respect, of burying a dead. Rabbi Kiva says no. The last in applies only, if Hu Ben Shana, Ve'ivarin Kiven Shtayim, if he's a year old, and he looks the size of a 2 year old, or Ben Shtayim, if he's 2 years old, Ve'ivarev k'ben shana, but he's small, and he looks like 1 year old, then Yetze B'mita. Then he has to go out in the bed. Okay? Atesiv says, that's not enough according to Rabbi Kiva to have 12 months. You need mamash a year. Because sometimes you have, you know, 12 months. If it's a leap year, you don't have a year. You have 12 months. Rabbi Shimon Malazar Eimer, Rabbi Shimon Alazar says like this: Hayetze b'mita, if a kid is taken out on the bed, Rabbi Matziv Malav, the public grieves over him. And Hayetze b'mita, if he doesn't go out with the bed, then he's not. The public do not. Rabbi Matziv Malav, then the public doesn't mourn him. Rabbi Lazar ben Azayi says no. Nikola Rabim, if the kid is known to the public, meaning, as Rashi explains, the kid goes to shul and he hangs around people that people know who the kid is. Rabim is saskinim, then the people deal with him. Meaning, then the people involve themselves and they mourn. Ein Nikola Rabim, if he's not noticeable, meaning, they don't know the kid, ein Rabim is saskim, then the people don't get involved. What does getting involved mean? Rashi says getting involved means they stop work and go to the Levaya. That's the din. You show when the Levaya goes by, the din is if you have a business, you have to close the business until the procession goes by. Out of respect to the part of the mitzvah of El Yisames. So these are the different criterias of less than 30. So even now, even in the Gemara is discussing, you have one din less than 30 days. One did over 30 days, and one did over a year. Different style funerals. But the bottom line of it is that a kid under 30 days that passes away, there's no avelus. There's no, like, public mourning, there's no condolence calls, there's no, you know, that's it. Because less than 30 days, there's no avelus. So now the Gemara says, what mahein behespid? What about eulogizing them? One of the big things in the time of the Gemara is eulogies. So the Gemara says, what's with eulogizing them? So the Gemara says like this. It's very interesting, Gemara. This is, Aniyim b'nei shalish, if the kid is 3 years old and he's poor family, you eulogize him. Ashidim, if it's rich people lost a kid, only when they're 5 years old. I will explain this in a second. It's very interesting. Rab Yehuda Emer Mishmei, Rab Yehuda says in the name of, that's what Rab Meir said in the name of Rabbi Shmuel. Rab Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, no, not 3 and 5, Aniyim b'nei Chamesh, Ashirim b'nei Sheish. What's the thing over here? The Mefarshim explained this very, very, rich people are not going to like this. It says, poor people mourn their children more than the rich do. Number one, two reasons. Number one, this is the only joy they have. The rich people have money that they enjoy. Poor people have no money. What do they enjoy? They enjoy their kids. Secondly, the loss is more for the poor person because the kids help them. The rich people are servants and slaves, you know. They don't need the kids to help them. So who feels the loss more? The poor people. So the Gemara says like this. Rabbi Meir says the name of Rabbi Shmuel. If the kid's poor and he died at the age of 3 or more, you eulogize him. Rich people's kids, you have to wait until 5 to eulogize them. And Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, poor people, not 3 and 5, but 5 and 6. But Bnei Skenim, but, you know, if they're older parents, and their kid died, then they have a din like Bnei Aniyim. Even the very rich, but they still have a din like the poor people.
They're older.
Because they're older, they need more help, you know, they're counting on the kids, Rashi explains, to help them, and so on. Amar Rav Gidl bar Menashe, Amar Rav, Rav Gidl bar Menashe said the name of Rav, Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, Sha'amar Mishum Rabbi Shmuel. The Halacha is k'Rabbi Yehuda. That what? That 5 for the poor kids, 6-year-olds for the rich kids. But if the kid's under 5, there's no eulogies at all. That's the Gemara's.
What's the purpose of eulogy? To make them feel better or make them cry? And those is that people go around making people cry.
I'm gonna quote you in English what Rashi says. The eulogy gives some measure of satisfaction to the deceased survivors. This is more necessary in case of a poor person, since a poor person grieves more over the death of a child than because it's the whole source of joy. It's interesting, in our circles,
no eulogies.
Like the Hasidic world, they have it. In Chabad, they don't make eulogies. It says in Halacha, they say about the great tzaddikim, they said, when people started eulogizing people, they said, you should know that if the dead person would be able to get up and talk, you know, out of his box, out of the coffin, he would get up and say, do me a favor, will you please all shut up and let me get buried already? You know, hacking a chaynik. But it's also brought down another interesting thing. You have to, and this people are not careful about, and it's not good. It says in Halacha, they warn very extremely much about not lying in a eulogy, not making a person greater than he was. And it says, if in a eulogy you eulogize the person greater than he was, you harm the neshama of that person. Why? Because when the neshama comes upstairs, the Bezin says to him, look at the way you fooled people. You made people think you're such a great person, and you're not. And they hold that against him, because he's a faker, a bluffer. So it says in Halacha that when you eulogize people, those that do, you have to make sure to say the truth. Not exaggerate, not lie about the... You can't say he was a very, very religious person if he wasn't. You could say, you know, you don't have to lie, but you could say what you're allowed, what you're able to say. So, in many circles, no eulogies. I don't know if that's the only reason, but that's one of the main reasons why we don't. Our customs, we don't do it. Take them, sit. Sooner the better. Okay, now the Gemara says like this. This is going to show that Halacha is not like the Mishnah that we learned. The Mishnah said, in order for Yom Tov to take away Shiva, it has to be 3 days before Yom Tov. That's what the Mishnah said. And when we learned the Mishnah, we said in the Gemara, we're going to see that it's not the Halacha. But Darish Rav Anani Bar Sosson made a speech at Pizcha de Bein Yisoy at the entrance of the Nasi's house, meaning the leader of the Jewish community. He said like this, Yoy Mechad Lefnei Atzeres, if somebody died before Shavuos, and that they were buried the day of Erev Shavuos, and they sat Shiva that day, is Atzeres, Vatzeres, Harei Kanar Ba'asayim. You already have 14 days. Meaning as follows. And by the way, this is the halacha too. If somebody died right before Shavuos, let's say Shavuos, let's say, is Tuesday. Okay, so Monday night Shavuos, yeah? So Monday morning somebody dies, he's buried Monday afternoon. Right? So now they sit 2 hours Shiva until Yom Tov. Now, that day, even though they only sat 2 hours, because Yom Tov takes away Shiva, it's counted as if they sat 7 days. Yom Tov itself, the one day of Shavuos, is another 7 days. So it's like they had already Avelis 14 days, and for Shleishim they only need 16 more days. That even though they only had Avelis 2 days, Erev Shavuos and Shavuos, for Shleishim they only need 16 more days. That's what he says. Atzeres v'atzeres, the day before Shiva. I'm Yom Echad Lefnei Atzeres, one day before Shavuos. And Shavuos, Harei Kanar Ba'asim, you have already 14 days, and that's it.
And if Shavuos is 2 days?
So then, same thing, no?
So it's 777?
No. Doesn't work like that. We're going to see later in the Gemara, even Shemini Atzeres is not another Yom Tov for that. In other words, based on what, like if somebody was buried out of Shemini, Erev Sukkos, right? So that day should be 7, Sukkos should be 7, the 7 days of Sukkos should be another 7, and Shemini Atzeres should be another 7. It doesn't work like that. That doesn't work. But we'll see why. We'll explain. Okay, so therefore, it's... So in Chutz Lo'etz, you'd have 15 days after Shavuos instead of 16. Then the Gemara says, Sham, so who said this? Rav Hanani Bar Sosson made the speech, this din, at the doorway of the Bein Hasiot. So the Gemara says, Sham Rav Ami heard this, that this is what Rav Hanani said. Ikpid, he was very upset. He said, Atu Dideo, that's not his din. The Rabbi Lazar Amir Abayshiyu. It's the din of Rabbi Lazar Amir Abayshiyu said this din. In other words, Rabbi Anani made it as if it was his din. No, Darash Rabbi Anani made it. He got up and made a speech with that din. So when Rabbi Amir heard about it, he said, what are you talking about? It's not his din. And you have to say David B'Shem Amri. You have to say the name of the one you heard it from. He was very upset with it. Then the Gemara says the same thing. Rav Yitzchok Nafcha also made the speech Akila Deresh Galusa at the door of Deresh Galusa in Bavel. He was the head of the community in Galus. He said, Yom Echad Lefnei Atzeres V'Atzeres, that if you have, again, the same din, one day before Shavuos and Shavuos, you have Arikan Abbas, so you have 14 days. Shama Rav Sheshes, so again, Rav Sheshes heard that he said the din seemingly in his own name, but he was upset. He said, Artu Didehi, that's not his din. The Rabbi Elazar ben Rabeshi, it's the din of Rabbi Elazar ben Rabeshi. Where do we see this din? The Amr Rabbi Elazar ben Rabeshi, because Rabbi Elazar said the name of Rabeshi. Minayin Latzer Shiesh Tashlum Kol Shiva. How do we know that Atzer Shavuos has a din of 7 days? Like you said, before Shavuos, and Shavuos is another 7. Shenema, because it says in the Torah like this, V'chaga Matzis, it says in the Torah, it's Sholish Pam Bashana, right, Yorah calls it Churcha. When? So the Pasuk says, Chaga Matzis, Chaga Shavuos, V'chaga Sukkos. So in the same Pasuk, the Torah is likening Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos to each other. So therefore, just like Pesach takes off 7 days, Sukkos takes off 7 days, right? It should also be, Shavuos is the same thing.
Tashlum is for bringing korban, right?
Yeah. But here it doesn't mean for the korbanos only. Oh, 1 second. No, it is referring, the pasuk itself refers to the korbanos, But the Gemara says that if that's the case, it has the same din by Shiva too. If you're counting it as 7 days, it's 7 days. And he says, Ma chagamatzis. Just like Pesach, you can bring it 7 days. Okay? Same thing Shavuos also does. So therefore, the Gemara learns, just like by Karbonis, we consider it 7 days. So therefore, by Avelis, we also consider it 7 days. So therefore, after Yom Tov, you only have Shleishim for X amount of time. Then the Gemara says, Adabir Rav Avya Sava. The Papa guided Rav Aya, the Rav Avya, the elder. And he walked through the city streets, this is where they define it. And he said to him like this, Ye Machad the Fnei Rosh Hashanah, one day before Rosh Hashanah, the Rosh Hashanah is 14 days. Same thing like Shavuos. Basically, he's paskin in Ram Gamliel that Rosh Hashanah takes away Shiva. Right? So now he says, Amar Avina, therefore Avina says like this, Yei Mechad Lefnei Achag, if you get somebody is buried one day before Sukkot, meaning Erev Sukkot, and V'shchag Ushmini Shalei, you already have 21 days. Because Erev Sukkot, you sit until night, you're over. That's 7 days. Then you have 7 days of Sukkot. Shmini Atzeres, and it's interesting, Shmini Atzeres, unlike other Yom Tov, take away Shleishim. Shmini Atzeres doesn't take away Shleishim, but it's counted as 7 days. And that's
one
a
day.
Huh?
It's
7 days. So you have 1 day, the half a day before is 7 days, because you think you set the whole Shiva. 7 days is Sukkot. And Shmini Atzeres, so you're left with only 30. A week, right, 9 days left. 9 days left. But the interesting thing over here, the Mefarshim ask a question. They have a problem with this. If somebody dies before Rosh Hashanah, so what did the Gemara say over here? The 1 day before Rosh Hashanah is 7 days. Rosh Hashanah is 7 days. So you have 14 days already. So how many more days do you need?
16.
But Yom Kippur takes away Shleishim anyway. Yom Kippur takes away Shleishim. If Rosh Hashanah takes away Shiva, so they said, what's the Gemara telling us over here? It doesn't make sense. You don't even have, it doesn't matter, Yom Kippur is going to cut off the whole Shleishim completely. So you don't need another 16 days. It's like Gemara said, what are you talking about? The Rishonim asked, like, what are you talking about? So, he goes into the whole Megill over here. Is some people want to say from here you see from the Gemara that they hold Yom Kippur doesn't take away Shleishim, and the festival of Yom Kippur cancels Shleishim only if 7 days of Shiva were actually observed. But if the Shiva was cancelled before, then this out they bring down a Tasis over here. In the middle of a day, he wants to say, because it's a very big question, really. Right. The Gemara says it's 14 days and you have 16 days left. You don't have 16 days left because Yom Kippur takes away the whole thing. So some Rishonim want to say Yom Kippur will not, it's not the halacha though, that Yom Kippur will sometimes take away Shleishim, sometimes not. If you had a real Shiva, then Yom Kippur will take away Shleishim. If you had a half Shiva because Rosh Hashanah took away Shiva, then Yom Kippur won't cancel Shleishim. But Lepel, that's not the halacha. The halacha is it's going to take away Shleishim anyway. So this statement of the Gemara, in a practical sense, is not relevant. In a halachic sense, because anyway you don't have the Shleishim. As soon as Yom Kippur comes, it's over.
Even if it's 8 days before Yom Kippur?
Right.
Yom Kippur takes away the whole thing?
Well, if somebody dies Erev Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur will take away Shiva. Sukkot will take away Shleishim. And therefore, the halacha is though that Yom Kippur does take it away. Okay, let's just finish up to the Mishnah. Ravina Kloyla Suri de Pras. Ravina visited the town of Sura. That's not the real big Sura, and the Euphrates. Amalei Rav Chavir Mesura de Pras Ravina. So Rav Chavir from Sura said to Ravina, Echad Lefnei Rosh Hashanah Ve Rosh Hashanah, one day, again the same din. One day before Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah is 14 days. So he says, is that what you hold? So to speak, did you say this? He asked him, did you say this? Amalei, he said, Ano Mistabu Kram Gamliel Damin. I said the Kram Gamliel, which means that Rosh Hashanah takes away Shiva, because a Chacham hold it doesn't. The Allah said Kram Gamliel that Rosh Hashanah does take away Shiva. So therefore he said, that's what I said. He basically ignored the question. He said, I said the Allah said Gamliel that Rosh Hashanah takes away Shiva.